This is Ricky Pearsall, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to another episode of the epic Roster Watch YouTube and radio program here on Roster Watch YouTube and podcast, wherever you do get your podcasts. I think I just repeated that twice, but you know what it is. Around here, it's July 10th, middle of the month, and we're starting to turn that page. That page is starting to turn over to the season because the offseason is now in our rearview mirror. And I just got done working on my top 10 thoughts from the 2025 offseason. I did this column last year, just trying to rehash through everything. I know some people stay locked into everything we post and everything that goes on in the NFL and everything that goes on in fantasy football for the length of the summer. And some people log off after the NFL draft on April 29th. Some people log off on January 1 when the fantasy football season's over. And the purpose of this column, you can go read it up at rosterwatch.com, or you can just lock in here live on Thursday night. That's what we're doing here. Money B in the building. Jimmy Pirog in the building. Money B. We're going to be live over there on Orange Bloods, but Jamarion Carlton decided to take the bag from Baylor, so we're not live over there. But our show will be up in the next hour. Top 10 thoughts from a 2025 NFL offseason right here, right now for y'all. Appreciate y'all that do jump in the chat. Appreciate y'all that do watch the show. Click the like button and click subscribe as we near that 13,000 subscriber mark on YouTube. It's absolutely awesome. Appreciate y'all tapping in and locking in. AJ, shout out. What's up, Roster Watch Nation? We are a nation at rosterwatch.com. Number one thought from the offseason, the same thought, honestly, from last year, just in the inverse. A year ago, it was Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll retiring from the sport at age 72 together. And now, a year later, Belichick is literally at North Carolina. And Pete Carroll comes out of retirement at age 73 to join the Las Vegas Raiders. One season after retiring, he spent like the fall camp as an advisor for the Seahawks. And then basically he said that, yeah, he wasn't doing a lot. He was watching a little bit of the preseason games, but he really wasn't giving anything to the franchise. In January, he signed a three-year deal with the Raiders that includes a fourth year. So age 73, 74, 75, with age 76 as a fourth-year option. We'll see what happens with that. They went out and obviously made some big moves, drafted Ashton Jeanty, among others. We'll talk about the Raiders here in a minute. That was number one. Number two, just some updates about the GMs and the head coaches. We saw the Jets replace both head coach and general manager. They hired Darren Mugay, I think that's how you say it, as well as Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator from the Detroit Lions. He was rumored to go to the Saints, remember back then? He ended up going to the Jets. He was hired before Mugay, who spent 15 seasons with the Denver Broncos. The Patriots, I think this is the biggest note here, the Patriots move on from Jared Mayo after one season. They bring in Mike Vrabel. They should have done that a year ago. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Vrabel should have been the head coach in 2023, but the Kraft situation with promising Jared Mayo that he would promote him from linebacker coach to head coach didn't quite pan out for the 4-13 Patriots. I like what Vrabel's doing so far. The other coordinator for the Lions, Ben Johnson, goes to the Bears, who replaces, Eberflus. Is that who's – I guess like I've started to forget the names that have been head coach for the Bears since Lovie Smith departed in, 2012? I think Ben Johnson is going to be the answer. I like what the Bears have done to surround Caleb with talent the last, obviously, two drafts along, really this draft with Luther and Rome last year. Loveland, awesome, plus the offensive line stuff. The Jaguars, maybe my favorite situation, though. They moved off of Trent Baalke, who was there for 4 years as a general manager. Doug Peterson was there for 3 years as the coach. Combined in 3 years, they were 22-29. Liam Cohen, that was the big one this offseason, I guess. Liam Cohen interviews there with Baalke, goes to Tampa. There was reports that Liam Cohen got an extension to stay in Tampa. Days later, Balky's gone. Hours later, Liam Cohen's the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Remember that? I thought that was pretty awesome. Liam Cohen. And then it's like, well, I didn't say that I didn't want to be there with Belky, but Belky's now not there, and now I'm here. Thought that was really interesting. I think it was 2 weeks later then, we saw James Gladstone take over. He's the youngest general manager in the NFL now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He comes over after spending almost a decade with the Rams in the front office and the scouting side of things. If you haven't heard James Gladstone talk, I advise you to just go watch his introductory press conference. We saw him at the Combine. Gladstone's well-spoken. He sounds like he came out of that Los Angeles Rams front office. The Raiders, like we talked about a minute ago, hired Pete Carroll. But they also fired Tom Telesco, their GM, who was formerly with the Chargers. He's now been fired twice in the last 400 days. This was back in January when he was fired. He was fired the January before from the Chargers. Got the Raider job. Thought that was kind of funny. Not funny, but random, I guess I would say. He leaves the Raiders, and they add John Spytek, who was actually spent a little bit of time with Tom Brady in Tampa for that overlap there. Of course, Tom Brady, part owner in the Las Vegas Raiders now. The Tennessee Titans moved on from Rand Carthon after two seasons. Again, it feels like since the John Robinson situation, it's been a GM, coach, GM, coach every other year now. So Mike Borgonzi leaves the Chiefs after 16 seasons in their front office to go to the Titans. They then used the number one overall pick on Cam Ward. I like that. I like what the Titans are doing going forward. I like Borgonzi being in that front office. And then the one that I just kind of like threw in here was Kellen Moore is now the head coach for the Saints after winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles as the offensive coordinator, spent the year before with the Cowboys. He replaces Dennis Allen, who was fired midway through the 2024 season. So biggest takeaways amongst the coaches and GMs to me, I think Liam Cohen and James Gladstone raise the boats. They're the tide that raises the boats in Jacksonville. I think that the Mike Borgonzi move in Tennessee with Cam Ward, those two things working together, will allow Tennessee to take that step forward, get back into it. Kellen Moore, I'm not sold on that situation in New Orleans. I think we've known this for 5-6 years that they've keep kicking the can down the road as far as salary cap. And it's going to start to bite them here in the butt last year, this year, probably next year. Jets and Bears, I'm a little indifferent. I think the Bears are going to be okay. The Jets, I'm not sure it's going to be a Justin Fields situation. New England Patriots we'll talk about now with my third thought from the offseason. The New England Patriots dominated in spending this offseason. Dominated. Like more than – I went back and looked. No team in NFL history has spent – in future contracts, more than $300 million. I think the previous number was like $294 for the most money spent in an offseason on future contracts. $294 or something like this. The Patriots spent $360,845,000 in future contracts, which ended up being $95 million more than the next best team, which was the Minnesota Vikings. The last team to spend $90 million more than the next in free agency was the Jaguars in 2022 when they went out and got Christian Kirk, Brandon Scherff, Evan Ingram, Darius Williams. You see how that turned out. It turned out well that first year. They went from 3-14 to 9-8. They won the division, yada, yada. The Patriots this last year, 4-13. They signed $360 million in total future contracts. The big breadwinner of that, the only guy that got over $100 million was Milton Williams, the defensive tackle, whom they pseudo stole from the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers had him all but signed, and then he kind of got on a little PJ and up north signs with the Patriots. Stephon Diggs has not yet signed his or passed his physical, but 3 years, $63 million from Houston. Carlton Davis, cornerback from Detroit, 3-54. Harold Landry, that's a low key one. Getting Milton and Harold Landry was. I loved that in free agency. I think that the Patriots have made a lot of moves that are in line with what Mike Vrabel wants in a defense. Bob Spillane, speaking of a defense that's run by Mike Vrabel, 3 years, 33, he comes over from the Raiders. Morgan Moses from the Jets. Garrett Bradbury to play center from the Vikings. And then Mac Hollins, the other receiver they got from the Bills. So big offseason. Did they win it? I don't know about that, but they dominated spending, and it wasn't even close. Like I said, no team has ever spent more than $300 million. The Patriots spent $360 this year, so I'll be interested to see how that unfolds in the future. Number four, the Seahawks trade Geno Smith, who got paid 2 years, $75 million from the Raiders to the Raiders. They signed Sam Darnold 3 years, $100 million. So if we're tracking at home, half at 75 is, quick maths, gives me $37.5 million per year. He signs with the Raiders. Darnold goes from Minnesota to the Seahawks, 3 years, 100, which is 33 per million. So they got $4 million per year cheaper to get Darnold in Seattle than Geno, who knows the offense, has played with JSN, has run the offense behind that offensive line, the porous offensive line, and handed the ball off to Ken Walker. New OC as Ryan Grubb goes to the Alabama Crimson Tide with Kalen DeBoer. And they draft Jalen Milroe in the third round from Alabama. So they get rid of Geno, add Darnold, save $4 million a year, and draft Jalen Milroe. So I thought that was an interesting little, I just about called it a little circle jerk, but Geno to the Raiders, Sam Darnold to the Seahawks, and then Milroe adds in. So it'll be interesting to see what the quarterback situation looks like both in Las Vegas and Seattle, because Seattle's offensive line sucks. And Sam Darnold obviously was not good under pressure against the Rams twice and the Lions twice last year. It'll be interesting to see what happens and if we see Jalen Milroe sooner than later. Number five, Aaron Rodgers finally signs with the Steelers. He says he was talking to Mike Tomlin throughout the offseason every single week. It seemed like it. I mean, for those that don't know, which nobody knows except for Trashman and myself and Alex, we've had a live stream prepared to go live on Restream since the first day of free agency because we thought Steelers was the spot. We've never used the stream. It was a scheduled stream out to no platforms, scheduled. Aaron Rodgers signs 1 year deal worth $30 million to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was the literal stream that we've had set up to go. And we never did it. We never ran it because it took so long. He ends up signing a 1 year deal worth $19.5 with $10 million guaranteed, $13.6 in base. Signs with the Steelers eventually. Like, was it like midday? Was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever? It felt like it was just like random. Anyway, done deal. 1 year after signing Russell Wilson and trading for Justin Fields, they're both now in New York. Obviously, Russ with the Giants, Fields with the Jets. The Steelers let both leave in free agency after losing the wild card round of the playoffs for the second consecutive season and the fourth year in the last five that they've lost in the wild card round, the Steelers. Not only did they add Aaron Rodgers, they also added DK Metcalf in a trade from Seattle, Robert Woods from the Houston Texans in free agency, traded for Jonnu Smith to add that tight end room. I think he's going to play some like Jordy Nelson, James Jones type slot work, Randall Cobb type stuff, bigger Cobb, obviously. Lost Najee and drafted Caleb Johnson from Iowa in this year's draft. So added five pieces to the offense as well. The 2025 running back class in free agency returned to the mean thanks to a dense, very, 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 very dense rookie class. So the 2024 class was a boom because Jacobs, Barkley, Swift, even Henry to a certain extent, we're all in this class. Pollard as well got paid 3 years, $7 million, which really not a lot. Singletary got 3 for $5.5 million last year. The year before that, though, remember, David Montgomery got a $6 million per year over 3 year deal. Miles Sanders, 6.25 over three. Jamal Williams, 4 over 3. Mixon, 5.75 over two. Well, it wasn't that great of deals. The Jacobs Barkley boom really felt like it assisted. This year was horrible. Najee Harris, $5 million for 1 year. That's pretty much it. Javonte got 3 for 1 year with Dallas. Rico Dowdle, 2.75 with Carolina for 1 year. Dobbins, 2.745 for 1 year with the Broncos. Chubb, 2.5 with the Texans. Ty Johnson, $5 million for 2 years, so 2.5 per. Kenny Gainwell, 1.79 per for 1 year to the Steelers. And then Raheem Mostert, 1.6 for 1 year to the Raiders. All doo-doo. All horrible contracts for these running backs when you go back and look at what Jacobs, Barkley, Swift, you know, Henry, et cetera, all got paid last year. The running back market is the one thing I've learned from this is it's completely dependent on the depth of the rookie class over the last 3 years to what that looks like. Also coincides with obviously Barkley being a high-end rusher like he was last year, basically the MVP. Number seven, Derek Carr. quarterback, Terron Armstead, tackle, Frank Ragnow, the center from the Lions, Zach Martin, guard formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, was the first year Roster Watch was ever at the Senior Bowl, was a Zach Martin year. Julio Jones, wide receiver, obviously hasn't really played since, what, 2023 with the Eagles. They all officially retire from the NFL. Those are just notables. There's others that have retired as well, but those are notables on the offensive side of the ball that did retire. So Derek Carrs was really the one that caught everyone by surprise this offseason. Frank Ragnow as well, who retired from the Detroit Lions. Ragnow hit for me because, for me, he was in the, I think it was the 2024 recruiting class, I believe. He's from Chanhassen, Minnesota, so which is like an hour and a half west of where I grew up, Chanhassen. He was in the 2014 class, so he was in the class older than me, 1 year older than me. That one, when he retired, I was like, holy shit, like basically the same age, right? That's the thing that when you see a guy like this, everybody goes through this, I think, because I've heard people say it before, but like when there's really a guy that feels like arm's length away around your age, retires, or something happens like that, like or like when they make it to the league, they retire, they get in the Hall of Fame, all these different milestones when you track this stuff as close as we do, I was like, whoa. So Frank Ragnow, the best center in the sport, retires at his peak while going through a ton of injuries with the Lions that he's fought through. Number eight, thank all of you guys. I mean, we're now cresting into the 13,000 area, but 12,000 subscribers on YouTube for Roster Watch. Massive. We've seen the numbers go through the roof over the course of the last 6 months. We're only going to set records in 2025. Thanks to all of you guys that do click that like button, do click subscribe, do subscribe over at rosterwatch.com. Do get, as you can see in the ticker below, become premium members, become pro members at rosterwatch.com. Get the PPR Ultimate Draft cheat sheet that Alex has already got up. I'm working on the standard and half as we speak. Maybe not as we speak, but technically as we don't speak when I'm off the camera. Working on that to get that up in the next 10 days for the standard and half side of things. A lot of stuff's going to start flowing fast at rosterwatch.com. There's a lot of tools already up, thanks to Alex. Strength of schedule tools, environment tools, the Bust and Monsters tool. Like a lot of stuff that's going to help you win your fantasy football league in 2025. We're going to be here to help you side by side. Live shows. The goal is either going to, I mean, we haven't really finalize the schedule. We're trying to potentially do a live show every day and a not live show every single day and just get you guys all the content you need, cross all the T's, dot all the I's, get everything done and get everything ready. So appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Make sure you click that like button, click subscribe, and then the QR code's right there. There's also, you can just go to rosterwatch.com on the screen if you see it. If you're on YouTube right there, see that right there? And then if you're on podcast or on YouTube, the description also works. Rosterwatch.com, the link's right there. Click it. Head on over, subscribe, lock in, tap in. Everything's going to start coming down. Thank all of you guys. Enough with that. Number nine, the biggest fantasy relevant moves. I thought they were kind of meh. I don't know. I mean, like, as far as like the Dynasty Top 250, the names I'm about to read off, they didn't really like, they didn't get me jacked up to make these adjustments in Dynasty. Like, Deebo Samuel was traded to the Commanders. Okay, that's cool. Should be fine. We didn't see clips of him looking very good in great shape. He hasn't been that great the last couple of years. He blocked me on Twitter 6 years ago, but I don't know why. I love Deebo Samuel, but this didn't get me excited to see him go to Washington. Davante Adams goes to the Rams. Honestly, probably the one I'm most excited for. Cooper Kupp goes to the Seahawks. Davante Adams walks into the Rams. Should be kind of a dog in this offense with Matthew Stafford. We've seen the connections he can have with a quarterback that's got competencies. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, he's got a great connection with Adams. Derek Carr had a great connection with Adams his whole career. Stafford, I mean, Aaron Rodgers would tell you Stafford's in the same conversation as he is from an arm talent perspective. I would say that as well. Adams goes to the Rams. Joe Tooney, guard from the Chiefs. Jonah Jackson, guard from the Rams, both traded to Chicago. This should help the run game in theory. They got Roschon Johnson. They got DeAndre Swift. They drafted a rookie, Kyle Manungai from Rutgers. We'll see how that works. And, I mean, hopefully Trashman gets up to that training camp because I'd love to see just what this running back room looks like. If they're really going to give Swift the keys, this could be fun because there's a lot of weapons up there. Evan Ingram signs with the Broncos. Justin Fields signs with the Jets. We talked about that earlier. Cooper Kupp. Tyler Lockett with the Tennessee Titans. Very sleepy pick right there. Calvin Ridley. I love me some Calvin Ridley. My cousin's been texting off the chain. G, I don't know if he's in the chat or not, but he's been like, Calvin Ridley, Calvin Ridley. I'm like, dog, you can't have 90% Calvin Ridley on your teams. Like, that's, you can get 45%. That's hot. But 90%, man, you can't have 90% Calvin Ridley, even though I like him. They got Jim DK. They got Alec Manner. They got Xavier Restrepo. They got Chig. They got Tyler Lockett. Shh. Tyler Lockett with Cam Ward. He's going to be all right. Jonnu Smith traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Talked about that. George Pickens from the Steelers goes to the Cowboys. He's now the number two behind CeeDee Lamb, or next to CeeDee Lamb, I should say, not behind. I like that. I think that's going to make Dak, you know, man, he's going to be special this year, I think, in fantasy football. You could be looking at Dak as a top five quarterback. DK Metcalf, speaking of Steelers and Seahawks, he goes to the Steelers. Those are the biggest moves, I thought, from this offseason. I honestly, my favorite one, like I said, is probably Davante Adams going to the Rams. After that, I think Justin Fields is a little bit of a sleeper pick in fantasy football. We think he's going to play all 17 games. He should rush for 1,000 yards and just pepper Garrett Wilson. So that'll be interesting. This is kind of a boring one, but this is the final thought. The new age of watching football games, there's more streaming notes here. So this is just some random notes across the streaming platforms. Amazon Prime announced that they're in their fourth year with Thursday Night Football. So they'll be streaming not only on Prime, but also on Twitch. Peacock is going to simulcast NBC games. It's their third season in a six-year deal. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever read. Peacock will exclusively stream one single regular season game, which is the Week 17 Saturday night game. So you have to have Peacock at some point this year. Just Week 17, December 27th for Saturday night. So wait and then get the free trial. ESPN will be launching a new direct-to-consumer service this fall. I don't know what it's called, but I think it's through ESPN+. It's going to simulcast games that are on ESPN and on ABC. So if you don't have cable, I don't know if people have cable still or not, but you'll be able to get ESPN Plus, and then you'll also be able to get the ABC games. Paramount Plus will simulcast in-market and national CBS games like normal. Fox One is this new thing. It's also going to be like the ESPN Plus situation. It's going to be simulcasting in-market and national Fox games when the service launches this fall. We'll see. I guess we'll learn more as Fox One comes out. Netflix, everybody knows that. They'll be doing the two Christmas games this year. That's the second year of their three-year deal. YouTube TV will be in the third year of seven with their NFL Sunday Ticket out-of-market sports package, which will stream to YouTube TV. Additionally, YouTube and YouTube TV will have the Brazil game for free. So you can watch the Brazil game. I think that's week one for free. That's the opening game of the season. NFL Plus, which is what I subscribe to, and I would say everybody should. It's the best platform for rewatching games if you have, you know, a desktop. I use desktop a lot, so that's why. But they have live stream, in-market, and national regular season games, NFL Red Zone, all that jazz. So anyway, top 10 thoughts from rosterwatch.com. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Thank you guys for locking in on this live stream. I asked you guys a question last week when I did a live stream. Drop a comment. Let us know what time works best for you this fall. I mean, we'll talk about the season when the season gets near. We're going to have, you know, the waiver wire show, all the thoughts, all the start sit stuff in season. But for August, what's the best time to live stream that you guys can lock in, that you guys want to get content? Is it Saturday night? Is it Wednesday at noon? Is it Monday night? Like, what is the best? I care about everybody's opinion. I want to read all the reviews on Apple, on Spotify with 5 stars that say, Cody, 5 p.m. on Fridays, or on YouTube. Cody, noon on Wednesdays. This is like, we want to hear from the people. We appreciate you. Without you, we are not here. And I'm ready to start grinding into training camps, into shows every day, multiple shows a day. And I'm ready to go get this half and standard ultimate draft cheat sheet up at rosterwatch.com. Lock in, tap in. Appreciate y'all and love y'all. I'll see you tomorrow. See ya!
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.